James Brown.
Happy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't even know when this is going to drop. But by popular demand, we had to have an intro. Rick?
I am so happy about this. You have no idea.
So anyway, if you guys are listening, we have a special guest in the audience, in the studio today.
Yes, we do.
Who is it?
It's your twin brother.
Rick.
Yes, I am here.
Tell the people about yourself, Rick. Talk to the people. Let them know why you're here.
I was forced to be here by... Sorry. What was it? Don't say that.
You're forced to be here.
Reggie asked me to come in to be a guest. He said next time I was in town, so I said I would, and I'm here. So, and it was our birthday. You tell everybody it was our birthday? July 12th. We celebrate our birthday.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? No one knew about that. Ooh. And hey, we share it with our mom. Does Reggie even tell you about that?
No, Reggie don't tell none of his background
I know.
Stuff.
It's crazy.
No.
It is absolutely crazy.
Okay.
You know there's stalkers and stuff like that.
No, because if you look at Reggie's birthday, he was Revlon. He was a girl when he was born. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. All right.
A girl when I was born. This is crazy, Rick. Trying to get us canceled? Or trying to get us some fans?
I'm just kidding.
Reggie's woke now.
He's right. In the wrong state for woke. This is the hey, remember Florida's the state where woke goes to die. DeSantis.
All right. So we got the twins on here. Birthday was the July
12th. Yeah.
Right.
You guys are now how old?
Don't even say, because he never knows. No one knows. So
it's a secret?
Yeah, it's a secret. We don't talk. He doesn't say, but I'm in acting, so I don't say it, Rick, ever.
Like Revlon? Like a secret?
Yeah, you can have Revlon. You can run with Revlon, dude.
I'm proud of my age. I'll say it.
Don't say it. You ruined my thing.
It's okay. I don't care about Reggie's age. How old are you, though?
No, that's funny. It's like, Rick, don't. This is acting. Don't do it.
Hey, Rick, don't listen to this demon. Hey, minus 40. How old?
Oh, don't listen to this demon. This dude, he wants to put us in the same range as him. Ray, he was around. Letty, I don't know if you're how old you are, but Ray told me about the bag phone. The box, what is it, the phone bag?
Yeah, phone bag.
So he is older than me. Let me just say that.
Oh, shit. Just by 2 years?
Listen, just by 2 years. So you guys, it came out, the edition came out 2 years before. But listen, for those listening, we have a special guest as well, Letty.
I'm not only guests here today. We have a special call on the phone today. The guys have invited to come be guest speaker, and I'm very happy to introduce Letty. Letty, if you were to introduce yourself to the Bro-Rance listeners, we'd greatly appreciate
it. Yes, Leticia Adams from San Diego, and happy belated birthday to you both.
Thank you. We respect gifts. We're not petty, but we do like gifts. Gift cards.
Not about you, Reggie. Not about
cards.
Letty, continue. Thank you for the birthday wishes. Continue. Get in. Letters.
And I am a cancer survivor.
Cancer survivor. Yes. And we appreciate having you on the show.
Well, thank you. I want to say congratulations. We've had family members and friends that are cancer survivors and some that we've lost. So I know that's a very tough battle. And I just want to say, how long have you been a cancer survivor now?
7 years. Seven months.
I was going to say, girl, because we were at the show.
I was speaking that into existence. Yes. Okay?
Well, amen. All right. I believe in that.
Seven months. However, even though I am in remission, I'm still doing treatment. I'm doing ongoing treatment for the next 10 years.
What kind of treatment?
So I'm not done yet.
What kind of treatment are you currently taking that you'll have to do for the?
I have a daily pill that I'm taking, and then also a monthly injection that I will be doing for the next 10 years. So, and it's very, very expensive. So the plan is to continue to do it for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. But honestly, as long as my finances allow.
Wow. So
it is expensive.
It's expensive. And is there anything like that the government or health insurance, like programs that help you afford this life-saving treatment or no?
So yes and no. I work for the government. I have a really good job. Okay. I have health insurance, really good insurance. The injection alone is $2,800. And once my insurance covers their portion, my portion is $800 a month for this shot. So again, I do have a job. I do have insurance, but $800 a month for the injection, not to mention my pills, my doctor visits, and, my continued MRI scan and stuff, it starts to
add up.
To add up.
Yeah. Toll on you. Wow. That's.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I'm in a good situation because I have insurance. So I feel for the people who don't have insurance or who their insurance won't approve the medication. Wow, you're left to literally just fend for yourself and wither away.
Yeah, and that's turns out to, that's more often than few that happens, that those kind of situations when people don't have coverage or what have you, or their insurance is not going to provide care for those people. So
take us back, like, you know, let's go back in time a little bit. What happened, or where were you when you found out that you actually had cancer? Was it just a regular routine checkup, or, you know?
It should have been, but it wasn't. Yeah. So I'm 44 years old. I don't mind saying that because I'm, like, really good for my age.
There you go. Amen. There you go. Own it.
But when I turned 40, I go see my doctor once a year for my birthday. So when I turned 40, my doctor requested that I have a mammogram, and I was really naive to how breast cancer works. I thought the only way you can get it is if it was hereditary.
Oh, okay.
So when he told me that, I brushed it off like, oh, well, you know, there's no breast cancer in my family. So I really, it's not a need for me at the moment.
Gotcha.
Then I turned 41. Same thing. Well, you still haven't gotten your mammogram. Go get one. And I was like, oh, okay. Kept pushing it off. 42 came around. Same thing. So a week before my 43rd birthday, I was scheduled to go see him the following week, but I felt a lump under my armpit. It wasn't necessarily on my breast. It was under my armpit. And I thought it might just be a cyst. I wasn't concerned. Mm-hmm. Again, breast cancer doesn't run in my family. So I made an appointment. And I had a mammogram. They called me back, still not concerned when I got that phone call. They said, there is something on your images. We need you to come back and we would like to biopsy it. And I said, okay, I'm not a problem. Again, I think it's a cyst. You guys would probably just biopsy for your own, you know, reasons, but I'm not worried. That happened. I came back on my birthday, which was a week later. I had all that done within the week, came back for my birthday. Sat there, the doctor came in and said, unfortunately, we'd like to tell you that you do have breast cancer. Mm. I didn't hear anything after that.
Wow.
It was like literally everything stopped for me.
Was it like, what stage was it? Did they catch it in time or was it far, far along?
So at the time, I was stage 2 when we found it. But with further tests, it did metastasize. So it went from the actual tumor into my lymph nodes.
Okay.
So that would put me at a stage 3.
So
shit.
When you're in the doctor's office and they give you this news and you're sitting there thinking, okay, most likely it's benign. And then they hit you with, okay, I'm sorry to tell you, you do have that. And it's stage 2 and it's spreading. Like, what happens? What's your thought? Like, what went through your head at that moment in time? Like,
my mom's going to die. Like, literally the only person I could think of was my mom. Wow. My mom. Yeah. Like, how am I going to tell her?
So during that, not thinking about you, you're thinking about your mom.
No.
How she's going to, wow. Yeah. So you're very close to your mom. Wow. That's, wow.
She's the caretaker for everybody in my family. Mm-hmm. And I knew she would take it the hardest. I didn't think about my kids. I didn't think about myself. I just thought, how am I going to tell this to my mom? And I didn't for like 2 weeks. I told my sister's best friend had cancer. She was the only person that I knew who had breast cancer. So I reached out to her, told her what I was going through, and asked her not to tell anybody until I kind of got myself together. And you know, a couple weeks passed and I just started telling my family. I think I told my kids first, outside of my sister's best friend. I told my kids, I have 2 adult children and 1 minor who still lives in the house, who, by the way, I will say she is the one who got me through it all. My little girl who lives with me, very, very positive, very funny. So I had a positive attitude the entire time because of her. But, I told my family and then I just started to prepare for the surgery, once the surgery was removed, or once the tumor was removed, I was told I needed chemotherapy for 4 months.
Okay.
I did that. I lost my hair, which wasn't a big deal. It was like, whatever. Right. And then after chemo, I did radiation for every day for 2 months. Every single day for 2 months, I did radiation. And my last radiation treatment was December of 2022. So that would put me in at my 7 month mark of being in remission.
Was
however, thank you. I will have my last surgery on August 29th. So again, even though I'm in remission, even though I'm cancer free, my battle is still ongoing for the next 10 years. I'm having surgery August 29th, which is like a little over 4 weeks from now. Again, I'm taking a daily pill. I'm doing monthly injections, and people think they hear like, oh, you know, you're cancer free. Congratulations. My journey has just started. I have the next 10 years of my life to like continue to do this.
Go ahead. I was going to say, if you don't mind, like when you say you're having the first surgery was to remove the tumor. Do you mind sharing? I don't know if it's private. Like, what are the other surgeries like consist of?
So,
and why the reason for it, if you don't mind, for the like viewers,
yeah,
and us who are not really educated in
that. A mass still. I noticed like this lump, and I thought it was just so radiation hardens your skin.
Okay.
So I have like these what feels like knots, around my armpit area. I thought it was just my skin healing from radiation. Again, it wasn't that long ago. It was only 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. I went into my doctor's recently, and she was like, hey, like, I feel this. Have you felt it? Like, of course I felt it. I can see it. I can feel it. I just assumed it was radiation. And she was like, we're going to do some tests. It does need to be removed. It's fairly large. Mm-hmm. It isn't cancerous. So it's just a large hard tissue from radiation that needs to be removed.
Right.
So I'm doing that. I had a really good surgeon. She was a surgeon oncologist who was number two in California. And so I got really lucky. I didn't have a lot of scarring. I didn't have a lot of times women who have breast cancer surgery, they have, their symmetry is off.
Okay.
I didn't have any of that. So after surgery, not for me, but for other patients, they end up having some type of cosmetic surgery done afterwards. Again, I don't need to do that, thank God, but it does happen a lot where patients have to go back a year later just to fix what was done. And luckily in the state of California, cosmetic surgery for breast cancer patients is all paid for by the insurance company, but I don't think that's nationwide.
Okay.
Wow.
Which sucks.
Yeah, it should be nationwide.
Yeah.
Because it can definitely mess with you. When you got this news, I know it puts life in perspective. You know, I know you said one of the first things you thought about your mom and, you know, how she was going to deal with it. You thought it was going to kill her, obviously. But aside from that, when it came to yourself and your children, is there anything else that came to mind?
Yes. Making memories with my kids it was important before, but it just made it, you know, it's upfront and in my mind, and I'm taking more pictures. I'm taking more videos. I used to be, my daughter used to take pictures of me and videos, and I was like, oh, please delete it. I don't look good at this point. I don't even care how I look. I want you to have those memories, for when I'm gone. I don't have a lot of videos of my grandparents. Or even my mom, even though, you know, she's still alive and we have, you know, camera phones now. I don't have a lot of video of her. So I allow my kids to just take videos. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I'm in, what my hair looks like. Just do you. I want you to have these memories. We travel a lot. So that was important for me. I wasn't able to travel during my treatment, but now that treatment's done, we've been taking trips, you know, for the past 6 months we've been traveling. I knew my kids would be taken care of because their dad is amazing. He's an amazing father. So I wasn't worried about that. But also I just cut a lot of people out of my life that they just weren't adding anything positive to my life. So, so in that aspect, I absolutely was like, okay, this person is draining and I just don't have the time nor the energy to, like, I'm dealing with me. And I actually lost a lot of friends. I don't know if my friends weren't able to be there for me like they thought they could. I was also in a relationship, which is crazy. I was in one of my healthiest relationships in my life, like ever in life. I thought this man was the one. And when I found out I had cancer, I told him, we sat down, we had the conversation, and I said, hey, I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know what I'm going to look like in a couple of months. I don't know if I'm going to lose my hair. I don't know how sick I'm going to get. So I'm giving you the option to leave right now. And he looked at me and was like, you're wild. Why would I leave you? You know, I love you. We're going to go through this together. And 3 months later, we had another conversation and he's sitting there and he's just like, you know, this is a lot for me. I didn't think it was going to get this hard. And I mean, it is what it is. I said, you know, I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. But this is where our friendship ends. And I promise you, you'll never be able to apologize for this conversation. Wow. And we have not spoken since. So I did lose a lot of friends.
I think that's crazy. I mean, that really shows you who's Mayweather friends Fairweather friends?
Yes, absolutely.
Friends. I'm already thinking of Mayweather Jr. I'm thinking about Mayweather boxing. Sorry. Fairweather friends. Because I can see. All right. So we've dealt with death and stuff in the past, especially in the COVID time. So I think it's really hard sometimes for people to relate or even be there for you because they don't know how. And, you know, either they get tired of the topic being about yourself, it could be that, or they just don't know how to be compassionate or empathetic. So that could be some of the reason, you know, some of the reason why they didn't know how to be there for you.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly because something totally different when I got divorced.
Yeah.
People that were my friends didn't talk to me anymore. It's not because they didn't want to talk to me. It's because they didn't know what to say to me because I got divorced. They didn't know how to respond to me or how to be normal.
Right.
So with her situation, no one who hasn't gone through that, they don't want to keep saying, well, how you doing? What you up to? How's it going? How can I help? They don't know what to do. They're oblivious to that.
I think it'd be the hardest thing to talk to someone. And let's say Letty, I don't know if you were you the most optimistic person in your group, in your friend group?
Her daughter was.
No. I'm saying just in general. Just in general. Were you
prior,
the person?
Prior to cancer?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Oh, geez.
Absolutely.
Well, geez.
Cancer changed me.
Oh, well, for the better. That's good then. What I was going to say.
No, absolutely.
I was going to say it's she like completely fucking blew my point out the window. I was going to be like, oh, well, you know, people are probably used to you being the one that's lifts spirits. So they're probably like, hey, this is Letty's job. But no.
So what were you like? What were you like when the kids weren't around? No one was talking to you when you're by yourself in the room or in the bathroom. What were you like then?
During cancer? During treatment?
During. What were you like?
Oh, I was a mess. Mm-hmm. So for me, right. And I hear this a lot, but I don't think it's for every cancer patient, but for me, cancer was more mentally than physical. Even though I was in pain and, you know, my body was changing, I didn't have hair, I was more affected mentally. Like at night when I was alone, during the day I was fine. I kept myself really busy. I would even go to work when I shouldn't have been going to work, but I just wanted to keep my mind going. But at night when I was alone,
right.
And in my own thoughts, all I thought about was death. That changes your perspective on literally every aspect of your life. And to this day, I still think about death, even though I know I'm fine and I'm going to get through this and 10 years is nothing, you know, my treatment. But I still, to this day, think about death every single day.
What about your faith? I don't know how, if you were spiritual or religious. What background in religion are you? If you are religious,
I am. I'm Christian. Okay. Yes, I go to church. I definitely talk to God a lot more. Yeah. I was talking to God then, but my entire life changed when I found out I had cancer.
Yeah, I was going to say before.
So I feel like I did.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say before that, I was going to say, did, I was going to say, did you curse God at any time when this happened? Or I say, why me? Why me?
No, not once.
Not once. Wow.
No, but I that's just the type of person that I was even prior to this. Is I never was a why me. Like, okay, how do I get through this type person? How do we move on? How do we, you know, overcome this? So, yeah, that's never why me. Whatever God's plan is, even to this day, whatever his plan is for me, I trust.
You said that, okay, the guy that you were with, how long were you guys together for?
Her ex-husband?
A little over a year.
Okay.
So it wasn't long. However, okay.
But you guys talked.
However, uh-huh. It was healthy. It was a healthy year.
Okay, so and then the year that you guys are together, did you guys talk about like forever? Like being together, getting married, all kinds of stuff like that, or was it just a normal?
No, it was just like one day at a time. Oh, we never talked about our future, but we did talk about like. Like, this is amazing.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going anywhere. You're all I have from on his, you know, on his side. Like, you're all I have. He didn't have family. Okay. He didn't have siblings. Or he had siblings, but they didn't live in the States. So I was literally all he had. And so we would have those types of conversations. Nothing to lead me to believe that we were not going to be together.
Gotcha. So... definitely when you're going through what you're going through and he said, I'm not going anywhere. And then the second time you said, I guess you said a couple months later, you could, his attitude and everything shifted. That must've
been. And I think that's what hurt me the right, most is that I gave him the opportunity to
out.
Leave.
Yeah. You gave him the out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, yeah. So, and the fact that, so I could see how that could affect you emotionally too, especially you're going through this, you think you got a partner and then, they leave. They walk away.
Yes. And that was over a year ago. Actually, no, that was almost 2 years ago.
Almost.
And wow. I have not been in a relationship since.
Has he, here's the thing, has he reached out to you anytime after that?
He did not reach out to me while I was undergoing treatment. As soon as he found out I was cancer free,
wow.
He reached out via text.
Uh-huh.
And said, hey, can we talk?
Oh,
and my only response was, my last conversation to you, or my last words to you were, you were not going to be able to apologize for this. Mm-hmm. And so there was nothing that he had to say that I wanted to hear.
Gotcha.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And wait, but also let me, I hate being devil's advocate because I hate when people do it to me. I'm like, I hate you. But let me, for example, now you said that this man has like no one, you were the only person that he knew. Right. What was the relationship with his parents or whatever? Are they alive or no?
No, he's the only person.
No.
No. Okay.
He didn't his parents were gone.
Did they die when he was young or what have you?
A very young age.
So do you know how they died? I'm just curious.
Yes. Oh. I don't want to say, but on this podcast, but
that's fine.
It was traumatic for him.
Okay. And all I want to say is this.
The way his mother died.
Okay. So this is all I have to say. I know that, like, for example, usually, like, when a man meets a woman, it's usually someone that reminds them of, like, they have qualities of their mom. Mm. And I'm not saying this is what the reason is, but I honestly think, like, something that traumatic, maybe abandonment issues, and the fact that he could not be there because he's have some stuff to sort through in that regard, that he might not, especially with men, we don't sort through, we're not very emotionally intelligent when it comes to our feelings, but... maybe that might be a reason he couldn't be a part of it. I'm just saying. So him reaching out now that you're cancer free, I think sometimes it's worth the conversation because life is, as you know, not promises. Sure. Life is short. So if there's something that you guys felt that you had, my thing is it doesn't hurt to have a cup of coffee and forgiveness is everything, but it might be, he might be you forever. I'm just saying, just putting it out there. And the reason I asked if his parents were alive or what have you is because I figured that there must have been a reason that caused him to pull away. So I'm just saying maybe that might be the reason.
I'm from a different kind of cloth.
That crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
him not being, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I want to hear your side. No, I want to hear what Ray has.
No, we're going to, Ray and Reggie are going to say something after you respond to Ricardo. I got something to say.
Well, my thing is this. All I got to say is this. Like everyone always has an opinion about a relationship, right? That's not in a relationship. Right. But these same people in a relationship that's bad or whatever will not do what they said they're going to do. So my thing is go with your heart, but I'm just saying, I think based on him having that traumatic experience with losing his mom, which you know about and we don't, maybe that might be a reason that he pulled away because that's too hard. I'm just saying that maybe losing you would be the second most traumatic thing he's ever experienced, if that makes sense.
I thought so. I thought that, again, that did cross my mind. However, not once did he pick up a phone to say, hey, how is treatment going? Or, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? Not one time.
I understand, but you know what? Sometimes I guarantee you, we, and I think these guys could attest, don't even lie, Reg.
No.
I know you very well.
Listen.
So where it's very intimidating, where he wants to, but he's like, I remember that last conversation. And it was the last time I would
hear. As he should.
And it's that fear, right? But here's that thing. It's that fear. Like, what if she doesn't respond? What if she's so angry? Like, even though we're supposed to be tough, we are very sensitive too. And fear of rejection as well. And the funny thing, men, we get rejected all the time. Like, we ask women out, what have you, and get turned down all the time. But when it's someone that we're vulnerable to.
Yeah, but your girl fighting for her life. So.
Yeah.
If she's fighting for her life, you need to be there like a soldier. Well, if you're not going to be there when she's fighting for her life, why are you going to be there when she's doing
well? He's also in a new relationship now. He is in a relationship now. He ain't too hurt.
Oh, yeah, he's not too hurt. And here's the thing. Not even that.
No, he ain't too hurt. Here's
I got to say about
guys,
that. And
like everyone deals with things differently.
They do, and he just jumped into someone else's bed. Listen, this is how I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to say. She cried herself late at night by herself with her thoughts, and all he had to do was be there. Look, he didn't have to. Yeah. Look, they could have not been together. And here's the thing. Even though, tell me if I'm wrong, Letty. Even though you told him, hey, I promise you're never going to be able to apologize to this. If this dude, if it was a week later and he texted you and whatever, apologized, you probably would have been more receptive to accept it because it was so quick.
Yeah.
But the fact that he let time go by and now you're good and now I'm going to holler at you, there's a problem
It seems a little weak now.
And a text message is not hard for anyone to do. A text message actually requires no effort. Send a text, hey, how you doing? If she doesn't respond, dude, that's your fault. At the end of the day, you're going to contact her when all is well because there's no risk for you now. There's no, she's healthy now, so there's no risk. I don't have to be, she doesn't have to cry on my shoulder at night anymore because
Ricardo,
she's healthy.
Let me ask Ricardo.
These guys are cold as ice.
Let me ask you a question, Ricardo. Let's say, for instance, you're going to
this situation. Very well said, but go ahead.
Thank you,
Ricardo.
Let's say, Ricardo,
you're going to the situation, right?
Okay.
You lose all your money, right? All your stuff. You lose your house. So your girl leave you, right? She leave you, right?
Okay.
She's like, oh, this is a little too much for me, right? You get back on top, right? You're doing really well now. That girl call you back and say, hey, I was going through a lot at that moment. You know, are we good now?
That's a whole different
situation. No, it's not.
Yeah,
nope.
It is.
No,
that's
not.
A whole
situation. No, it's not.
Now, the hair.
Hey, Rick, Rick,
wait, wait, wait. How about this?
I'm used to wealth.
I'm used to living well. If you add it like, she grew up homeless and she's like, oh, I can't go back to being homeless again. Like, Papa was a Rolling Stone, left me, and like, we're living in a cardboard box. And then after she's like, you got an apartment? Okay, I can deal with the apartment. I just can't deal with a cardboard box. It was a traumatic experience. I grew up with, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
But I'm just saying, if you can't be with somebody when they're at the bottom, the worst, then you can't be with them when they're doing really well.
Absolutely. And speaking of relationships, Letty, where do you,
she's single?
I know. Do you, the reason you're single, is it because you find, you are less vulnerable now? You're more guarded? You don't want to jump into a relationship out of fear that if something does happen, you might invest too much time to lose the person like you just did your last relationship? Or you're completely open? Oh, you are. Wow.
Well, no. So life is just way too short for me to just be in these, you know, random relationships that go nowhere. So my next relationship, I want to be my last relationship. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem taking my time finding that person.
Troy.
I'm not in a hurry. It needs to be right and it needs to be healthy. I know what a healthy relationship looks like now.
Troy.
So I want that.
Troy.
Who's Troy?
Is that?
I don't know.
I thought Ray was he kept saying,
I'm like, who's
Troy?
Troy. Oh, by the way.
Hold on.
And my ex-husband.
And that could happen. There are people that have gotten married again since when they get divorces. They have gotten married. years later because they found out.
I will say this about Troy. Troy is an amazing father.
Okay.
But he was not a good husband. So the relationship him and I have right now, I'm good with him being just my family member and nothing more. I love him.
You good with him just being the baby daddy. I got you.
And not even that. I consider him family.
There you go. So no Troy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not badmouth him. He's great.
Yeah, it can't do.
But he's not like for that. Me.
It's not for you. But I know
you. I will. But let me just tell you this story. So a week ago, no, for the past like 3 years, there's this man who has been pursuing me.
Okay.
A lot, right? Mm-hmm. I ran into him 5 days ago.
Okay.
And he was still like begging to take me out to dinner. I declined. This man got engaged on Saturday.
Oh,
this is why I don't trust anybody. This is why I don't want to, you know, waste my time. And I tell them too, don't waste my time. If you're going to jump in my DM, I appreciate, they always start with, I've been praying for you. Like, God is good. God is great.
Yeah.
Thank you for your prayers. I've been praying. But no, you can't take me out.
Wait, he's been trying to get with you for how many years? You said five years?
This man, 3 years.
Three years.
This man was trying to get so 3 years.
3 years, and then he spoke to you.
I ran into him 5 days ago.
5 days ago, he trying to hit at you, go out with you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I please take you out to dinner? Yes.
Okay, and then he got married when?
Got engaged.
He got engaged.
Last week.
It wasn't like a Saturday.
Saturday.
It wasn't a little engagement, too. It was like at the beach. Rose petals everywhere.
Letty, that was supposed to be your dinner date. Letty, that was going to be your.
That was going to be her proposal.
That was going to be your proposal.
That was supposed to be your shit.
He was like, damn it. All right. And then he's like, can I take you out to the next girl?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, we met a week ago.
And you know what? I'm tired of people using God.
That was yours.
I'm tired of people using God as a wingman. I'm praying for you. God is with me. Can I jump in your pants? That's what these dudes out here doing.
That's the first thing they say when they're in my DMs. Like, I've been praying for you this whole time.
Let's
like, thank
church.
You, but...
Yeah, let's go to church holding hands.
And hold on. Tell me this, lady. No. So if he was pursuing you like hard for 3 years, why didn't you give him a chance?
Mm. She wasn't feeling him.
Wait, she got... I want to apologize for Reggie trying to lead you.
Thank you.
She's being nice.
However,
go ahead. Let me hear.
I hope he doesn't hear this.
Oh, see, that's why she's being nice.
He got a bad hairline or something. Nope. Is that what it is?
You guys are all leading her. Go ahead, lady. I apologize for these guys trying to lead you. Go ahead. Why were you not interested in going?
He lived a criminal lifestyle, and I just wasn't about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a bad boy.
So just wasn't. Well, yeah, he's a very, very bad boy.
Bad boys don't do rose petals, though. Bad boys don't do rose petals on the beach.
After he got you 5 days, now come on.
Hey, Letty, I ain't gonna lie.
This was a pretty boy thug.
Hey, Letty.
This dude was a pretty boy thug.
Well, wait. What? All I know is Letty, he would be like, that $800 payment, I got you, boo. I got you.
Shit. Yo, you may have to rethink that.
I got you,
boo. You know what, Letty? I don't know.
And then, if you got thrown into jail, they're like, don't worry. The streets got, we going to take care of you, boo. They got that payment.
Okay, that's not how that works.
Take care of you. They're like, nah, watch my boo take care of her.
I don't know. Letty, do you have pretty feet? You can go that route with the OnlyFans.
I have a beautiful feet.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, look, you don't need any man. Just use them feet on OnlyFans.
Is this for feet?
Yo, that was bars.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I don't, no.
You don't need a man. All you use them feet on OnlyFans? That was bars.
Oh, he rapping on y'all.
So
that was by mistake, but God, look, to the glory, God.
This is why I told you that Reggie was
hallelujah.
He was kidnapped as an infant. He grew up with somebody from the streets too.
I told you.
Why would you say you have pretty feet OnlyFans? I apologize.
I said you got pretty feet.
Oh,
you don't need
no.
a man. Just
people
put your feet on OnlyFans. Bars.
Yeah, people tell me that all the time. Though, like you know, you could do OnlyFans with your feet.
With your feet.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, they'll pay for
Where's
it.
Where's my feet? Yeah. Mm, oh, absolutely.
God. Okay. Ricardo sells his underwears on OnlyFans
what
all the time.
What are you talking about?
Need money that bad.
She says that, yo. She says that as she's taking pictures, right? I don't need money. What's up, camera sound I hear in the back?
So, Letty, what do you do? What do you do now in your time as far as your life now since you beat cancer? What do you do now?
I ride motorcycles. That's what I do for fun. That actually, so wind therapy, I don't know if you've ever heard that term. Wind therapy is real. You get on your bike, you have an open road. All you have is, you know, the road speed and the wind hitting your face. And it is amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
It puts you to sleep too, right?
Motorcycles?
No.
The wind? Are you kidding me? No,
she
bro.
She's riding motorcycles.
Bro, the wind knocks your ass out.
While you're riding a motorcycle?
Bro, the wind puts you to sleep. Like, no, it wears your body.
It tires you out.
Bro, you know I had a motorcycle, Rick. You know I rode a motorcycle. What are you talking about?
But you said it puts you to sleep.
Bro, it wears you out at the end of the day. Yeah, not while you're riding, but you're done for the rest of the day. Like, you come off a motorcycle. Not only do you smell like pure road ass, but...
exhausting gas.
Everything. Yeah, you're like, oh. And the denims are sticky. Sticky, icky, wicky, where you don't want it to be sticky.
And you can't really, for a girl, you can't be cute on a motorcycle.
You can't. Bro.
You just can't.
No, you know what it is? It's like, you know how you see models and you're like, oh, man, that shoot must have been hot, but you don't realize they probably stunk and stuff. Oh, that's how it is with the motorcycle. Like, you're like, oh, that girl is hot. That, you know, they're probably thinking that dude is hot. No, that dude's balls probably smell like what? You would not imagine. And the chick's crotch probably smells just as bad.
Why?
Because it's what? It's the heat. Why? Bro, that engine up your fucking crotch. They don't call it a crotch rocket and shit for no reason. This shit's real.
Actually don't have one of those bikes, those sports bikes.
Okay, good. I had a crotch rocket. Too. I had the super ride. Yeah, I had one of those. It was hell on my
on the Harley all day.
Okay.
Cruisers are nice.
Ricardo had a big ass bike. It was 1100, 1200. What was it, Rick? The CC? 1200. This dude was like, I'm going to get a motorcycle. It was his first bike. Tell me why he went and got the fucking bike from Ghost Rider. Yo, this shit was so fucking big. I fear for his life. I was like, bro, you know what them CCs mean, right? Because we used to have these little pocket bikes because we were trying to learn. It was like 150cc, 110cc. But they were like motorcycles, like miniature motorcycles. We were younger. We were like, oh, we're going to learn to ride these bikes.
Like dirt bike?
Who had that bike, Rich?
We
did. I never had that bike.
You rode it.
You had that bike.
And you rode them. Damn. It's collective.
This is really fun and you guys work together, though.
No, we did. Here's the thing.
We learned it. It was not a dirt bike. It was actually a super. It was like a miniature super sport bike.
Here's what's funny.
Did y'all fight me when I was younger?
No, but here's what's funny, though.
No.
This dude is making this about him. Letty, it's about you right now. This dude is talking about his balls being sweaty on a bike.
I said guys' balls being sweaty.
Well, and then why are you talking about other guys' balls being sweaty on a bike, but he owned the bike?
No, because she was talking about the wind therapy, but I was telling there's other things that happened on that bike.
But look, make it about him.
I'm not. I'm just thinking about other people that are bikers.
Well, who cares about that stuff?
Letty, you and me are one. We are bikers.
Yeah.
I've got my hand up right now. I got my finger for you. You know, you do the finger at the bottom. That's what we do. It's boom.
Two fingers.
Two fingers. Yeah. Yes.
So, Letty, what advice would you give the other women who, when they find out they have cancer, or what advice would you give to any woman that you, as far as mammograms or any kind of pre-screening? What would you say to that, to women?
It's never too early to get a mammogram. Had I got my mammogram when I was told to have 40 and I didn't wait those 3 years, I probably would have caught it sooner. Well, I definitely would have caught it sooner and it probably wouldn't have metastasized. So it's never too early to get a mammogram, get a second opinion, get a third opinion if need be. That's what I did. I got actually to Arizona, got a second opinion out there, came back to California, got a third opinion out here. You always have options. If you don't feel comfortable, speak to somebody else. If you're, again, if your finances allows it. But attitude also makes a huge difference. Stay positive. And I know that's hard to do when you're going through something so traumatic, especially if you're in a like stage four and you just feel like it's going, your health is going down here. Always stay positive. Again, my daughter was that person for me, and I honestly believe she is the reason I got through it.
And I was going to touch on that. How did she keep you, like, motivated and positive and optimistic?
She's so funny. Just her personality, everything about she brightens the room when she walks into it. So we would go to my chemo appointments, and she would have everybody laughing from the doctors to the nurses. To me, I'm in tears when I'm around her. Mm-hmm. She's with her father right now, so she's not here with me, but she's just amazing. All my kids are amazing. I have a really great kid. Mm-hmm. But my 14-year-old was here with me through
going
it through all. It,
right, going through it, right.
So, yeah. So 14-year-old is your favorite. She's your favorite. Let's just admit that. She's your
favorite. I don't have a favorite, but she does tell her siblings that she is. She's your favorite.
She's like, I got mama through this shit. Where were you guys at? They're like, we were just living our lives. We had our kids. Nah, I stayed here with mom. So what if I can't live on my own? But I was also going to say, did you look into any holistic type of things? Maybe change your food, because a lot of things are acidic. Did you change any of your eating habits? And now, are you plant-based or anything like that? Do you no longer eat certain food?
I actually did during treatment. There are certain things that I can and cannot have. Right. Also, when you're undergoing chemo, a lot of things taste metallic.
The radiation.
So
yeah.
You automatically change your diet once you're doing chemo, because everything tastes like you have nickels in your mouth and it's nasty.
Oh,
but like hot Cheetos, stuff like that, which I craved for before. I loved hot Cheetos. Right. Now I just won't even touch. Anything like that that's going to be hard on my stomach. But I'm not a drinker, so that wasn't an issue. I did more self-care. Like I would go get massages. Okay. I would walk or run or, you know, stuff like that. I just felt like, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I didn't know. You're good.
Anything that I could do for myself that I felt was going to impact my health in the future, I was all about it. I even went to go see a medicine man in Mexico, in Mexico.
Yeah.
Really?
So I was willing to try anything.
What was that like?
So he spoke the Aztec language, It wasn't actually Spanish, so I didn't know what he was saying.
Gotcha.
We were in a hut. There was smoke everywhere. Right. It was hot as hell. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know what his assistant was saying. My son was with me for, safety purposes. Like, I didn't know who these people were. Right. Right. But he started to pray over me. And are you guys laughing at me?
I'm laughing because I know you left Mexico and four of your enemies were dead. Yo, all I know, she came back, she was like, what happened to these guys, these enemies I hated? Yo, they asked this woman, they were like, give me four of your evil friends. Yo, she gave more. Nicholas, Joanna, whatever, all these enemies is dead. And she's like, I don't know what happened. Look, yo, she was like, if I'm going out, these fuckers are going out with me. What happened? I don't know. I just went to Mexico, spoke to an Aztec.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, it's like, remember The Rock? I know it's not the same thing, but you know how they do that Hawaiian thing?
Oh my
god. Okay. I guess I'm the only one that sees these things.
So the hut, you got smoke everywhere, you got your son with you.
Right.
And you got him speaking his Aztec language.
In tongues.
Yeah. So she got her second favorite with her. Yeah. Okay. Let's make sure we get that in there. Second favorite.
And then what else happened? What else happened after that?
So you prayed over him.
So difference. There was a language barrier. They prayed over me. They asked me.
Okay, I'm sorry. When she said the language barrier, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
It was more like point to point. Like, are you sick? Do you need? Are you here because you have your finances? Like, people were there seeing this man for numerous reasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone was there because they had just lost their business and they needed prayer over their money or something to that effect.
Really?
But yeah, so there was like a long line to see this man.
Oh, so it was a line,
bro.
You had to pay to see him.
Well,
I'm so
you. Yeah, I did not have to pay to see him, but people were paying to see him.
You just gave sacrifices, right? You gave sacrifices.
He chose me out of like this group of people.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird. It sounds weird. Yeah. But,
it doesn't. Because like, when you hold a sign that says, I have four friends I want to sacrifice, he picked you. He's like, get off. I'm sorry. No more. I won't joke anymore. I'm sorry.
Don't even laugh.
Get
like,
her.
Why are you laughing when this guy's saying?
Yo, she's, you know, people have the concerts. Like, they have a sign. I love you. I got four friends.
Even, he's not even funny.
Four sacrificial lambs. Okay, I'm sorry.
Let her tell her story.
All right, yes.
He picked you
out of the crowd because you had the sign. I'm listening.
No, I did not have a sign, but he did pick me out of the crowd.
Oh.
And people were paying thousands of dollars to see this man. Oh, again, I didn't pay anything.
Thousands?
thousands.
So were you prepared to pay $1,000?
She had her $1,000 waiting.
No. So when he pulled me, I was like, I'm not paying for this. And his assistant, who spoke a little bit of English, was like, we think something's wrong with you. And I was like, something is wrong with me.
Wait, isn't everybody there because something's wrong? Like, ooh.
Yeah, I know.
And I think something's wrong with you. Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing.
Hey, that's very true.
But what I'm saying is, though, when you went, though, you then you had the idea that you were going to pay, though?
She wasn't pay nothing.
She's no. Like, she got, no.
I got 50 on it.
I was just there to watch the show.
I know. Oh,
okay. So this is, okay, I got
she
you.
She wasn't going to pay. She had a list. That's all I'm saying.
So you,
she had
a list. You go in there, you say you're not going to pay. He goes, no, we see something. We think something's wrong with you. And then what happens?
Yeah, his assistant said, I think something's wrong with you. Do you mind coming into this hut? Again, it's like on the side of a road. I don't know where we were at. There was no buildings around. This was all forest. Okay,
Letty,
okay?
I'm sorry. Weird. I'm sorry. The fact you might come in, like, I pictured an assistant sitting at the reception, and then he's like, she, like, there's a desk, and she's like, you might come in, and you look to this hut. Like, it's a hot ass hut.
No, there was no buildings around us.
I know, that's a picture, because like, you're like his assistant. I'm like, this guy's got an assistant coming through the hut. This hut. No, not that hut. This is that's the waiting list hut. You come exactly. To this one.
Not the one with the tent. The one we just built. The tiki hut we built. Look, okay. Master, she says she has 50 friends, enemies.
Okay, then
bro, goes. I know 4 people she paid for that day. That's all I know. 3 people she paid for that day. You were the only free one that day, lady.
So you walk into the hut and what happens?
Again, it was just smoke and prayers and like this seance was going on. It was an experience that I've never, it was different.
How long did it last?
It was different. Probably about 30 minutes.
Wow.
I was in tears the whole time.
Did you ever smoke anything or anything?
So did you feel a breakdown?
No. Like, did you smoke anything? Okay.
Did you feel a connection? Like you said you were in tears the entire time. So was it like, what's that thing you told me? Say it, Raymond. Alaswali. Come on. You know,
in tears because of the smoke?
Raymond, you Iowasi, thank you. We have a producer in the thank you in the background. Iowasi.
Were you in tears because of smoke?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
No.
Okay.
I was in tears because I was
connected.
I was in treatment at the time.
Okay.
I was bald. I was, you know, I hadn't started my radiation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, if anybody's gonna save me, Lord, let it be this man type thing. Okay. So I was willing to try anything.
Yeah.
It's desperation. That's probably what it felt like, right?
Yeah, and I was really vulnerable at the time also, so.
Yeah.
And Letty, I'm going to say right now, I apologize. No, I do apologize for that because you just made 3 men, grown men, feel like shit.
No,
you're fine.
But if you notice, though, laughter.
Oh, yes.
You know, she's full of joy. Because of her experience, and she realizes that
absolutely
it's healing.
Yeah, and she's dealt with a lot of jerks before. So Reggie,
I made her laugh. I fed her. I fed her when
she gets off this, she's gonna call Ray and be like, "Why did you have me do that thing with that asshole?"
No, she's like, "Oh my god!" She goes, "Oh my god!"
Is that dude on some right wing media or something? No, like that? Like, this guy's an asshole.
She goes, "Like, hey, whoever that one that was doing all those things and making me laugh, he's cool. The serious Republican is terrible.
Well, this dude, I won.
He's terrible.
One.
Oh my
the one
gosh.
That was fighting for my ex that abandoned me is terrible. He's terrible. But the one that was making fun of the Aztec man, hilarious."
Oh my goodness!
No, but I,
you're good. No, you're good.
Yeah, thank you. I was gonna say, the desperation that you had is understandable, and I know they say God.
He's a sociopath.
I know that.
Did you see how his tone changed? I'm sorry.
No, because I was trying to get this point.
You literally was like, and all this great thing, like, but the desperation that you.
Oh,
had,
Raymond. Yeah, Raymond knows what we do.
Let me know about this desperation.
You have to switch to another, you know, the other part of it. So the desperation you had,
sociopath.
This guy, I will cut that out, Rick. The desperation that you had that made you want to seek, treatment from a healer, a natural healer, but someone told you about this guy, right? Or you looked it up on the internet or something or whatnot.
No. So we were on an excursion out in Mexico. We were at the pyramids, actually, the Aztec pyramids.
Okay.
And on our way back to our resort, they said we were driving through the the forest. And they said, hey, we know that there's a medicine man who, if anybody would like to stop, he does charge, who would like to talk to him. We all got out of the bus. He did some seance in front of everybody. We thought everybody thought it was cool. And then people started lining up to pay to see him, to go in the hut to see him. And he started off at like $1,000.
Wow.
And so people were lining up.
So you, So did you feel like this was an answer to your prayers because it just, it was something you weren't expecting?
No.
Not at all. You were just like.
No, I definitely was not expecting it. And I would never do something like that. That's just not the kind of person that I am. Everything happens for a reason. So.
No, absolutely. No, but I'm saying, right then and then you didn't, in reflection, like looking back, do you think it was an answer to your prayers? Because you must have been praying, I would imagine, entire time going through your treatment.
I was going to ask, how did she feel after?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask her that as well. But let's ask if she reflected back, Rick, Cardo, sucks. Sorry, Letty. reflecting back, when you look back now, do you think it was God, like a messenger or?
She said no.
An act of God. No, she said right then and then she didn't think that.
No, even now.
Oh God,
no.
Letty, bye. I'm so done.
Thank you, Letty. Thank you.
This guy ruined me, man. What? Letty, okay, fine.
He does not listen. So
I do listen.
No,
I just have a lot going on right
he's
now.
He's about himself. I apologize. So, did you feel anything after it at all, or no? Physically, or do you feel better, or no? After you.
So yes, actually, I did. He had rubbed some cream on. So I didn't tell him. I told him I was sick. I told him I had cancer.
Okay.
But I didn't tell him where.
Okay.
So he rubbed this it was like a cream.
Don't say.
I know that sounds weird.
Don't say. Where did he rub it, Letty?
Come on. I apologize, Letty.
Like on my shoulder armpit area.
Oh, okay.
Because for breast cancer, people don't assume that it's in your armpit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay. It was like my shoulder armpit area, and then it burned the whole night.
Really?
I even was telling my son and my kids, like, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But looking back, I think it was probably just Vicks, to be honest. Because Mexicans love Vicks.
It's been icy hot.
Yo.
Mexicans love Vicks.
Bro.
So I don't know what it was, but.
Bro, all I know is assistant. You told assistant when you were looking, yo, get that thing from the Walgreens bag. Get that Vicks from the Walgreens bag. Yeah, she ain't looking. Hey, 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 oh. Okay. Okay. We got a look from the ancient gods. That mofo threw mint in there, partially.
But after the burning.
Well,
out,
you know what? I will say, I'm here. I'm alive, and I beat it.
Listen,
so maybe it did work.
Maybe it did work, right?
I think it worked. I actually do think it worked, and I think it worked.
So, Letty, back to your family and support that you got. So, other than your family, what kind of support did you have as far as your support for the cancer? Like what
I went the first 6 months without getting any type of therapy. I felt like I didn't need it. Mm-hmm. But my doctors, every time I saw my doctors, they were like, you absolutely need therapy. Mm. Like, yeah. So I did that for a while, and it does help talking to somebody, but I'm just the type of person that I just, you know, I crawl under a rock and I deal with it by myself. So I didn't feel comfortable going to therapy, but I absolutely think that it is important, to do, to talk to people outside of your friends and your family. But other than that, I just ride my bike. I keep myself positive. I do everything I'm supposed to do on my end as far as my medications, my appointments. I'm on top of everything. And I love life, everything about, you know, right, spending time with my kids and my family, my loved ones, I try to do. If you're not, again, if you're not bringing any type of joy in my life, I don't need you. I'll cut you out really, really quick. So.
I was gonna
not to say that that's a good thing, but that's just me. I just don't have time.
No, I think it's perfect. I think if people lived their life like that, they would save a lot of their time, other people's time, live more life more purposely. I think everything means something. Everything is meaningful. You're no longer hanging out with people or doing things you don't want to do for the sake of pleasing someone. You're no longer a people pleaser, if you would.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, does your job offer any therapy to your kids or family members?
So I work for the government.
Yeah.
And yes, there's all sorts of like avenues I could for myself, for my mom, for my children, therapy for myself also, everything.
Have the kids been doing it or no?
My older children, no. Again, my two oldest are adults. Actually, my oldest child is a therapist.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So she's our go-to if we need to talk to anybody.
That's awesome.
Oh, at least for me, when I need to talk to them, I talk to my daughter. She's a therapist. Okay. But yeah, we definitely have other resources from my job, and just my ex-husband has great insurance. So that was never an issue.
Okay. I wanted to say one.
And more. I have an amazing job who allowed me to take 6 months off with pay.
Oh, wow. Is there
full pay or like at a percentage?
Full 100% pay.
Wow.
What government job is this, girl? We finding it.
I know. Right? Yo, she's Jason Bourne. She's working like top. She's like, I work for the government last year.
I work for the government.
I'm like, am I 22? Yeah, I work for the government. Once again, I work for the government. I'm like, damn, okay. Shit. Tell me again. I work for the, let's see, if you haven't heard me, motherfucker, I work for the government. Yes, I do curse. It's okay. She rides bikes, bro. Okay. She's heard people curse, I would think, Rick. Anyhow, I was going to say, do you have anything currently that you have the public, you know, helping you fund, like a GoFundMe or anything for your medical expenses? Have you started anything like that?
I currently don't. I did in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Again, thinking that my one surgery, my chemo and radiation was going to be it.
Right.
But not realizing that after you're cancer-free, you still have to. I have a high reoccurrence rate. I had a very high reoccurrence rate. So, which is why I'm going through this 10-year treatment plan. But mm-hmm. I have been, the bike community in California is very large, especially for female bikers. And we come together for anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay. We come together. Cool. So I have been approached to do a GoFundMe for my neck surgery and my ongoing treatment. But we haven't actually put anything together. So for now, on my Instagram page, I do have my Cash App. I do have my Venmo. And as of right now, that's just the only resources that I have up there.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you ever do, whenever you guys do decide to do that, please let us know so we can plug it. Because
I mean, you could always put your Instagram handle that has your Cash App and everything on there. You could actually shout it out on the podcast so they could actually list it. Lady, it's not my podcast, but I'm just throwing some ideas for these rookies over here.
Okay, no, I was gonna do that anyway. But thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So you definitely put your IG handle, and
yeah, for anybody who wants to follow my journey or even my bike journey, which is amazing on my page. By the way, I just want to put that out there. It's Honduran_softtail. Honduran_softtail.
Right on.
For those of you who aren't biker people, Softail is the type of bike that I ride.
Ah, yes.
And I'm Honduran.
Makes a lot of sense. I was like, that's not her last name.
Is that the same? Thank you. And that's attached to the Cash App, right?
No, well, it has the Cash App on her page, but you can follow her page and follow her journey. So all the listeners out there, Bro-Rance listeners, look, I don't even on the show, but yeah. Definitely take the time, follow her, and if you guys want to contribute and help her along her journey and show support, I would highly recommend go ahead and drop some funds in there. Cash
Thank
App.
You.
You're welcome. Well said, Ricardo.
Thank you.
Yeah, well said.
Yes, well said. And remember, he's the one that supported that ex. I would like to leave you, Letty.
What is his? What is his Instagram? So I know to block him.
No. Oh, Ricardo, Rick, what is it?
I think she's gonna block you.
What's your Instagram, Rick? So she knows to block you.
She's just gonna drop you.
What is it? What's your Instagram?
Obviously, because you're the one that's
plug it. No, plug it so she can block it. Yes, 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 yes.
These are twins. Yeah, I love it. This is so
Letty.
Great.
Is there any other things you wanna like? Anything we didn't touch on that you want to go ahead and probably say before? Like we let you go, because I know that one person has been trying to lead the conversation all about themselves. So if there's something important that you want to go ahead and say to the listeners and people have gone through something like this.
Again, how important it is to get tested, not just for women, but men as well. Everybody. Cancer is huge right now. The numbers, I don't know why, but the numbers have gone up drastically over the past couple of years. So please go out and get yourself tested.
I think like 10 million people die a year from cancer. I think it's 10 million cancer, a year.
Yeah.
And just this past.
You did ask me. You asked me if I ever asked God why me.
Yes.
I never did, but I did used to question why I survived and others didn't. Mm. I did used to question. I met a lot of amazing people while I was undergoing treatment. Mm-hmm. They were also undergoing treatment, whether it was at the radiation center or, you know, they were sitting next to me getting chemo treatment, that did not make it.
Oh, wow.
And I remember the entire time when I was going through treatment, I was like, I can't wait to ring that bell. And a week before I was due to ring that bell, they removed the bell. And I was really upset. And I was like, you know what? I stared at that bell the entire time. And I was told that a lot of patients who knew that they weren't going to make it out of that situation, couldn't ring the bell, and it would hurt their feelings to hear it every week. So they removed it. And I don't know if it was just that hospital or if a lot of hospitals are removing the bell now, but it did hurt my heart to like get to know these people, and they ended up passing. And so my question was always like, why am I doing so good? Like, why am I here? Why am I having like these great, I had great days while I was undergoing treatment, like amazing days where I would just felt really good and healthy. And so that was the only question I had to like God.
Well, that's your goal every day.
Why me?
That's your goal every day. Yeah. Figure it out. Wow. Every day.
And the bell you're referring to, is that the bell to as far as being in remission, or is it you completing the treatment? The bell that you
completing the treatment. So there was a bell for chemo, and then there was a bell for radiation.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Which I did not get to ring.
Wow. But I know we got a bell on this damn thing somewhere. I was going to say, did you have survivor's remorse?
I felt like I did. I felt like I did when people around me were passing. Yes, they lost their battle. And again, why, God, why, you know, I'm walking into chemo treatment with a smile on my face and I look healthy and I don't look depleted. You know, I didn't lose a lot of weight during chemo. So yeah, I was just wondering, like, what am I doing right? And what are they doing wrong type thing? But again, cancer affects people differently.
Right.
Differently.
So does treatment too. Treatment affects them differently as well.
Letty, this is for you. This is for you. Love. But yo. So
I appreciate you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, but we do appreciate you. Thank you so much. Raymond. No,
just thank you, Letty, for calling in. We appreciate you. It was good
you're
to hear
welcome.
Your story again. So I hope this story not only helped yourself as far as reminding yourself of what you went through, but other people too listen to the podcast and giving people hope.
Thank you so much for having me.